Alright, everyone, say good morning. So welcome to Bava Metzia, Baruch Hashem, Shechiyonu v'kimanu v'giyonu l'azman hazeh. What a beautiful, beautiful haschala, beautiful new beginning for all of us. And we're going to begin. Shnayim ochsim betalis. So we'll say again, the Mishnah says two people are holding on to the same garment. Ze omer, I'm sorry, first of all, our shir this morning is dedicated by the Oman family in commemoration of the yard site of Michael's mother. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the neshama will have an aliyah. All right, shnayim ochsin betalis. So you have two people going ahead and holding on to a talis. Now, I will say again, so really, yeah, Rashi says over here, shnayim ochsin betalis, dafka ochsin, the shnehen muchzakin ba. So we're dafka talking about a case of where two people are holding on to the same garment, and both are muchzak, both literally have an ownership interest in it. Now again, we don't know if they have an actual ownership in it, but they at least have a perceived ownership in it, as both have actual possession. And neither one of the parties has a greater claim than the other. Because of course it goes without saying that if one of them were to go ahead and actually have possession, and the other one were to claim it, it would be an issue of hamotzi mechaver alav haraya. Ultimately, again, the burden of proof is upon the extractor. So shtayim oksim betalis. So back to the Mishnah. So you have two individuals holding on to the same garment. Ze omer ani mitzasiyo. This one says, I found it. Ze omer ani mitzasiyo. And this one says, I found it. Ze omer kula shali. This one says the garment is mine. Ze omer kula shali. And this one says the garment is mine. So Moshe said, how do we resolve such a situation? Obviously, talking about a case, there's no edim, right? There are no witnesses. There's no other forms of proof except for the fact that we have two people holding on to the same garment, each of them claiming ownership. Each of them claiming ownership and claiming that the item in its entirety belongs to them. How do you resolve such a situation? So says the Mishnah, Zei yishava she'in lo ba pachos michatzia. So party A swears that he owns no less than 50% of this garment. Zei yishava she'in lo ba pachos michatzia. And I will say this other party claims that he owns no less than 50%. V'yachloku. And they split the garment. So we'll see in the Gemara why such an interesting Shavua. Each one swearing that he owns no less than 50%. Now remember again, keep in mind, what's their claim? What are each of them claiming? It's mine. The whole thing is mine. Now we'll say, so what we're going to see, by the way, is that the Gemara is going to set up a model. The Mishnah is setting up a model. Whereas we don't want to set up a situation where people are definitely lying. That's what we don't want to set up. So to have two people take a shvua and both of them swear that the whole thing is mine, someone's lying. To have two people take a shvua, each swearing I own no less than 50%, that actually is a possible and plausible reality, as we'll discuss. So each one claims I own no less than 50%, and after taking that shvua, they have the ability to split the object. Next, ze omer kula shali. That's supposed to say, that's case A. Ze omer kula shali, ve ze omer chetzia shali. So party A says, the whole garment belongs to me. And party B says, half of it belongs to me. Ha omer, so we'll say, so again, remember, in this case, A claiming 100%, B claiming 50% of the garment. So we'll say, what do we do in that case? Ha omer kula shali yishava she'in lo ba. So we'll say, let's take a step back for just a moment. These cases are really interesting. So what are they arguing about, right? What's the machlokis about? The machlokis is only about 50% of the garment. The first party saying I own the second 50% in addition to my first 50%. The second party says I agree that you A own 50%. I happen to say, however, I own the second 50%. So in this case, the contention, the machlokes, is about 50% of the garment. That's the machlokes amount. So therefore, again, what do we do in this case? So this one says the whole thing is mine. This one says 50% is mine. Ha omer kula shali yishava she'in lo ba pachos mishlosh shechalakim. So we'll say, so the one who claims that the entire garment is his, he swears that he owns no less than 3/4 of the garment. And the one who claims 50% claims that he owes no less, he owns no less than 1/4. So we'll say this is pretty much, it's the same model as before, just using numbers that are a bit different. The machlokes amount is 50%. each essentially claims, each is claiming that they own no less than the 50% that is being argued about. If you look at Rashi, Bezel Mer Chatzia Shali, Modehu Shachetzi Shachadero. In this case, B is admitting to A that he owns, that A owns 50% of the garment, and therefore, again, the machlokes is only about the second 50%. Hilchach zel omer kula shali yishava kemishpat harishon, mashin donen alav nishpain shnehem, she'in l'chol echad bo pachos mechatzia, benota kol echad chatzia. So we'll say, same thing as the previous case. Each is arguing, ultimately, again, about the 50%, the second 50%, and therefore each swears that they own no less than than half of the 50% that is in question. Fine. Oh, so again, we're going to go through all these cases in the Gemara, so don't worry. Says Gemara goes weiter. Ze hayu shnayim rochven al gabi behema. So listen to this case. If there are two people riding on an animal, so mamash, both of them are on the animal. O shaya echad roche ve'echad manhig. Or Rabbi was saying, one of them is on the animal, and one of them is leading the animal. Now, remember, again, ze omer kulo shali, ve-ze omer kulo shali. Now, we'll say, same case, except instead of an animal, instead of a garment, talking about an animal. So, remember, again, so when they're both riding on the animal, I hear that they could both claim kulo shali. Why is it that if one's riding it, and one's leading it, that they could both claim kulo shali, the animal's all mine? Because, remember, one of the ways in which one could acquire livestock is how? Is how Meshicha, excellent. So remember again, so because the guy holding the reins essentially is the Moshech. So therefore again, whether they're both sitting on it or one is sitting on it and one is holding it, each are holding onto it in an ownership fashion. So what do you do in this case? So what was I? So this, now we're going to see, the Mishnah is going to say the same thing by an animal as it does by a garment. So why we have to frame this in two different cases, we'll discuss. So what's the halacha? Zei yishava she'in lo ba'pachos mechatzia, v'zei yishava she'in lo ba'pachos mechatzia. So we'll say, again, party A swears that he owns no less than 50%. Party B swears that he owns no less than 50%. V'yachloku. And ultimately, again, they split the value of the donkey. So what's the halacha? Bizman shein modin osha ein lahem eshesh lam edim. Both in a situation where the parties agree. Now in this case, again, look at Rashi. He says bizman shein modin b'gimar mefarish debahayash mu'inan debahamak biya mitzila chaveru kana chaveru. So we'll discuss exactly what they're agreeing on. But bepashtus, it means they agree that both own the object, or there are witnesses that testify to support both claims of ownership. So what's the halacha? Cholkin below shvua. Ultimately, again, we go ahead and we split the garment, or we split the animal without the shvua. So we'll say the shvua is the mechanism that is used to trigger a split in a situation where we have nothing else, we have nothing to corroborate the statements of the two individuals. So until people both claim they own the same thing, and we have absolutely no way of being mevara, we have no way of clarifying who is correct, who is not correct, or if they're both correct, so the shvua ultimately, hopefully, roots out the one, if either of them is lying. And ultimately, again, if they both do take the shvua, then halacha l'maaseh, they will split the item 50-50. Says the Gemara, lamali l'misna ze'omer. So it's a really beautiful Gemara. Lamali l'misna ze'omer ani mitzasiha, v'ze'omer ani mitzasiha, ze'omer kula shali, v'ze'omer kula shali. So why is it that the Gemara has to quote, or the Mishnah has to quote, both of these cases? Remember, again, the way the Mishnah is set up was an interesting way. Ze'omer ani mitzasiha, ze'omer ani mitzasiha, ze'omer kula shali, ze'omer kula shali. Why is there a need, ultimately, again, to state both of these cases? Why do you have to say them both? Instead, why don't you just say, listen, Chada. We'll say, just, you can make the point without both of those statements. You could just say, Shnayim Ochsim Metalis, and what? Ze'omer ani mitzasiha. Ze'omer ani mitzasiha. Or, so I found, this one says I found it, this one says I found it. Or, Ze'omer kula shali, Ze'omer kula shali. This one says it's all mine, this one says it's all mine. Why do you have to make both of the statements? To which the Gemara says, Chadakatani. In reality, it's actually one statement. How so? Ze'omer ani mitzasiha v'kula shali. We'll say, in fact, even though the Mishnah broke it up like two distinct statements, in reality, it is actually one statement that each of them are holding on to the talis. This one says, I found it, and it is all mine. And this one said, I found it at in this all mine. In other words, we're both saying, when you read the Mishnah, the way the Mishnah reads is, it sounds like it's two distinct statements. Ze omer ani mitzasiya, ze omer ani mitzasiya. Ze omer kula shali, ze omer kula shali. To which the Gemara says, no. It's one, each one is making one continuous statement that has two parts. Ze omer ani mitzasiya, I found it, the kula shali, and it's all mine. And the second part is saying the same thing. So the Gemara says, still, the listening, ani mitzasiya, the ani yedana, the kula shali. Rabbi will say, but still, the Gemara says, it's a repetitive statement. Imagine this. Why can't the Mishnah just say, Shtayim ochsim metalas, ze omer ani mitzasiya, v'ze omer ani mitzasiya. This one says, I found it, and this one says, I found it. And we would know, what's the claim that they're making? What's the claim that they're making? That it's mine. It's mine. It's mine in totality. I found it, and it's, meaning it's all mine. So why do you have to add in that last piece of the kula shali? So the Gemara says, listening, ani mitzasiya, ani yedana, the kula shali. Just go ahead and let the Mishnah write, I found it, and I know, I understand, that a claim of I found it means that it all belongs to me. To which the Gemara says, is amazing. Itana ani mitzasiya, hava amina my mitzasiya. Because had the Mishnah just written, I found it, I would have thought, I would have said that what does the claim of I found it mean? Re'ise, re'isiha, afal gav delo osi liyode, beri'ya ba'al makani. I would have thought, I would have said that the lashon of ani mitzasiya means I saw it first. I saw it first. That when one of the parties claims, I found it means I saw it first, and because I saw it first, it's mine. In other words, I acquired it through Re'iyah. Rabbi will say, which of course, again, and even though, again, I never picked it up, I acquired it because I saw it first. Rabbi will say, you understand, of course, we know that you can't acquire objects through Re'iyah, even if you see it first. Lamaisa again, it's not yours. Therefore, Tana Kula Shali, Dibiri'iyah Lokani. Therefore, again, the Mishnah adds in the phrase, Kula Shali, it is all mine, which I will say is a lashon of possession, to highlight the fact that what? That Re'iyah, that simply seeing something first, does not go ahead and give you ownership over that object. To which the Gemara says, Mi Matis Amrit, my mitzasiya re'isiya. So really, the Gemara says, is that true? Can you actually entertain the possibility that if it would have just said, Ani mitzasiya, that mitzasiya means I saw it first, and there's a havamina that because I saw it first, therefore it belongs to me. To which the Gemara said, "V'ha Amar Rabbi Noi." Rabbi Noi said, "Umitzasa da'asoy liyadei mashma." I will say, whenever the Torah uses the lashon of mitzia, so mitzia matza always is a lashon of something that comes to your hand. So we'll say the pasuk the Gemara is talking about over here is the pasuk we just had. We just had in Devarim. Torah says, "Hashavas aveda v'chin sa'asel l'chol avedas achicha asher tovad mimenu u'mitzasa." So shall you do for any lost object of your brother which you find. And again, we understand we dash ne mitzasa means you take physical possession of it. So remember, the Gemara was claiming before. So just to follow the train of thought over here, our original question was what? Why do you need the Mishnah to say ani mitzasiya v'kula shali? Why don't you just say ani mitzasiya? And I understand, that's what it means, kula shali, I'm making a claim, it's all mine. To which the Gemara says, because had we just said, ani mitzasiya, I found it, I would have thought that I found it means what? I saw it first, and therefore I acquired it first. Therefore the Mishnah has to add in the phrase, the modifier, the kula shali, it's all mine, to teach me, you can't acquire an object by just seeing it. To which the Gemara says, but why would you ever assume for a moment that by seeing something, that you could ever go ahead and acquire it? After all, even in a biblical context, whenever we use the word mitzasa, matzah doesn't just mean to find, but matzah means to take physical possession of something. So the question is back, hadra kushla duchte, the question is back to its original place. It could have just said mitzasiya, and I would have understood that can't mean re'iyah. Can't mean re'iyah. It has to mean getting possession of something, to which the Gemara says, umitzasa da'asiliya de'mashma, in umitzasa dekra da'asiliya de'mashma. It's true. When matzah is used in a biblical context, so it does mean taking physical possession of something. But Rabbi, listen to this. But the Mishnah, remember, you know, there's a concept of Dibra Torah Kalashon Menei Adam. Sometimes the Torah uses the verbiage that regular people use in just their regular dialogue. So the Mishnah certainly uses Lashon Menei Adam. The Mishnah certainly speaks the way man would speak. So the Gemara says, you're right. Umitzasa in a biblical context means you take physical possession of it. Umitzasa in the Mishnah reflects how people normally speak. And how do people speak? And I will say the way people speak is how, that when someone sees something, what do they say? I found it. Which I will say is true. That's the way people talk. So I might have thought, therefore, again, the Lashon of Animit Sasiha simply means I found it visually. I found it myself. And because I saw it first, therefore I acquire it. Therefore, again, Tani Kula Shali Debere'iya Ba'ama Lo Kanila. Therefore, the Mishnah felt compelled to add in the phrase V'kula Shali, it is all mine, to teach us what? That Lamais again, just by Re'iya Ba'ama, just by seeing the object itself, you cannot acquire it. You have to actually take physical possession. So it says the Gemara Balistni Kulushaliva Lo Bayani Mitzasiha. So okay, fine. So now I understand why Ani Mitzasiha by itself cannot work. But I'll ask you a different question. What? So just write Kulushali. Shnaim Ochsim Batalis. Ze Omer Kulushali. Ze Omer Kulushali. So now just leave out Ani Mitzasiha altogether and just use Lashon of Kulushali. And I would know now, there's no ambiguity, I would know now that they're both, there was Mishnah Tumah Medicase, where both are in physical possession of the item. Itana Kulushali Hava Amina Ba'alma Diktani Mitzasiha Beri'iya Ba'alma Kani. Ah, because they're both saying, had it just said Kulushali and not Mitzasiha, I would have therefore thought that when Mitzasiha shows up in a different context, it refers just to Ri'iya, just to seeing the object, and I could have walked away with the erroneous conclusion that Ri'iya by itself would acquire the object on behalf of the individual. Therefore, again, Tana Ani Mitzasiha, Vahadar Tana Kula Shali. So we'll say, therefore, again, the Gemara says, the Mishnah included the Lashon of Ani Mitzasiha, I found it, and then Kula Shali, to teach us that what? The Mishnah Yisera, from the extra phrase, we learn, Ashmo Inon, Diri'iya Lokani. So from the extra phrase, we learn that Ri'iya by itself, sight by itself, or seeing something by itself, will not go ahead and acquire the object for you. So we'll say, what's interesting over here is the following, that what the Gemara is saying is, and this is a beautiful Musar in life also, the Mishnah is not just helping itself. The Mishnah is also helping others in different contexts. So the Mishnah, to express the halacha over here, the Mishnah could have just simply said, Shnayim ochzin batalis, ze omer kula shali, ze omer kula shali. And that would have made the point over here. However, it would have laid a potential stumbling block for future situations. Therefore, in order to go ahead and show us that Ri'iya Ba'alma is never Kona, the Mishnah Dafka throws in Lashon of Ani Mitzasiha and Kula Shali to teach us that Ani Mitzasiha by itself, which could potentially be interpreted as Ri'iya, is not Kona. So we'll say, first lesson of the Mishnah is that Shnaim Ochzin Batalis only works if what? If mamish, they're ochsin. They have to be actively ochsin. And the idea is that even if someone sees something first, seeing something obviously does not convey any level of ownership. So the Gemara goes weiter. How can you say, Gemara's original question was, why are you framing this in two different cases? Shnaim ochsin betalis, because also remember, it reads like two cases. Shnaim ochsin betalis, ze omer ani mitzasiha v'ze omer ani mitzasiha, ze omer kulushali v'ze omer kulushali. It sounds like two cases. The first case is, this one said I found it, this one said I found it. Second case is, this one said it's all mine, this one said it's all mine. Because also remember, again, the lashon is ze v'ze, ze v'ze. So the Gemara said, how can you tell me it's one case? V'ha ze v'ze katani. It says this. It must remember again, it repeats the statements of both people twice. Ze omer ani mitzasiha, v'ze omer ani mitzasiha, ze omer kula shali, v'ze omer kula shali. In other words, if it was really one case, how should the Mishnah read? Shnayim ochsin betalis, ze omer ani mitzasiha v'kula shali, v'ze omer ani mitzasiha v'kula shali. Why are you breaking up the statements with ze omer ani mitzasiha v'ze omer? Right? Reuven said I found it. Shimon said I found it. Reuven said it's all mine. Shimon said it's all mine. Why don't you blend the cases into one? To which the Masamar Papa V'itim would have seen Barashi va'amrila kedi. We'll say kedi is the name of a person. Reisha b'mitzia v'seifa b'mekachu memkar. Ooh. So we'll say, listen to this. To which the Gemara says, you're right, it's two cases. So we'll say that Papa's approach is, in fact, it is two cases. What are the two cases? We'll say the case of Ani Mitzasiha and Ani Mitzasiha, I found each, where each claim, I found it, that's talking about a Mitzia, an object that was found. An object that was found. And both holding on to the found object, and both claiming ownership over the found object. We'll say the case of Kula Shali, where each is claiming I own the whole thing, that's a case of Mekach u Memkar. Where Rabbi said, not that the object was found, but instead what? where the object was purchased. If you take a look at the last Rashi on the daf, Rashi's b'mekach u'memkar amad aleph. Rashi's mekach u'memkar kanisim yad ploni b'dafka mekach u'memkar damrina yachal uku b'shvua. Deikal memer shneihem kan uhu or the shneim b'sarat samocha. So also, listen to this. Both Reuben and Shimon are claiming that they both bought the object from the same merchant. So Rabbi said, therefore, the Rapapa is suggesting that inachinami, two cases in the Mishnah. Ze omerani mitzasiya, ze omerani mitzasiya is talking about where they're arguing over a found object. Ze omer kulishli, ze omer kulishli is where they're arguing about a bought object, a purchased object. So Rabbi said, utzicha, and we need both cases. Amud beis, why? Vitana mitzia, listen to this, because had the Mishnah. Had the Mishnah just thought the case of Metzia, the case of a found object, and that's where they're arguing, Hava Amino, Metziahu Diramu Rabbanan Shvua Ale, Mishum Demori Va'amr. So we'll listen to this. I would have thought that it's in a case of Metzia where the rabbis imposed the Shvua. And I will say, remember again, so just to understand, this Shvua that we're talking about, what's the point of this Shvua? The point of the Shvua, hopefully, is. Well, there are a couple of points to it, but one of the major points is to dissuade someone from lying. In other words, people lie all the time, but people, we assume, don't take false oaths. Taking a shuva sheker is a very, very, very serious infraction. We'll learn this, but the Shita Saram, the Ram's opinion is that when one takes a false oath, they have violated the second commandment of Lo Sisa Shem Hashem Lokecha Lashav. Very serious Aveira. So the assumption is that when you put a Shavu in front of someone, that's a pretty good way of seeing who's telling the truth, who's not telling the truth. So I would have thought the following. I would have thought that I would say it's in the case of a found object where two people are claiming ani mitzasiya v'ani mitzasiya. That's where we impose the Shavua. Why? Because I would say it's easy for a person to not justify, but what's the word? Justify lying, not justify. Rationalize. Thank you. Easy for him to rationalize, right? And to lie. Why? Because listen to this. V'amar chavroi lav midi chaser ba. The truth is, I'm going to claim it's all mine, and I know that I'm lying. But I was looking at, you know why? I'm not causing anyone a loss, right? This is found money, right? This is a found talis. So I'm not causing him a loss. So because I'm not causing him a loss, I don't feel so bad about claiming that it's all mine. So you know what I'll do? Listen, what's the worst case scenario? The guy's still walking away with 50% more than he had 5 minutes ago. And I'm not, if anything, he's finding less money. He's going to walk away with less, but I'm not causing him any kind of loss. So, well, so that's the kind of case where the rabbis, so we call any time that there's a mora heter, any time that a person is rationalizing something, Chazal felt a shvua is a great way to kind of slap them out of that rationalization, make them wake up and say, hey, you're lying, and hopefully dissuade them from lying. About Mekachu Memkar, the Lekala Meimar Hachi Imolo, but we'll say, I might have thought that in the case of Mekachu Memkar, in a case where each of the parties ultimately, again, is claiming that they own it, and therefore someone is going to suffer a loss, even though, again, technically speaking, it could be made whole over time as well, but there is a more substantive, immediate loss. I would have thought, therefore, in that case, someone's not really going to lie, someone's not going to rationalize, and maybe in that case, there is no Shvua. And if the Mishnah would have just told me the case of Kula Shali, which Rabbi said, now we're saying is a case of what? Mekachu Memkar, where two parties are claiming that they both bought the object. I would have thought that's the case where the rabbis imposed the Shvua in order to go ahead and kind of break up this deadlock of each of them claiming that they own the whole item. Mishum Demori Va'amar Chavroi Domi Kayohiv Va'ana Domi Kayohivna. Because a person could justify, I both say, rationalize in a case of Mekachu Memkar, in a case of a sale, saying, listen, you know, Reuven gave money, and I gave money. We both paid money. Hashta, v'tzricha l'dide ashkalei. I need this object now, so I'm going to take it now for myself. So ashkalei ana. V'chavroi leza litrach lisbon. And you know what? Let my friend go and find those. Because I both say, remember again, even in this case of the sale, remember what happens. Let's play this out. Let's go back to the Mishnah for just a moment. So Reuven and Shimon show up. Both claim they both bought the object from the same vendor. Now what's going to happen over here? They're going to split the object. And we're going to see the case also is where the vendor has two sets of money. So what's going to end up happening over here is they're going to split the object. and they're also going to split the second set of funds. So at the end of the day, everyone is made whole, so to speak. Just the difference is no one has the full object. So again, now I'll say, well, we'll get to that case of Yirtzeh Hashem. So I might rationalize that, saying, listen, what's the big deal? I'm not causing my friend any kind of loss. Let him, he'll get back his money, he'll get back half of the object, and he'll go make himself whole. I need the object now. Aval metzia, deleka lemeimarach. Rabbi is saying, in the case of a found object, where one could not create this level of rationalization. Emolo, I would have thought there's no shua, therefore tzvicha. So both say, therefore again, at the end of the day, the Mishnah, now according to Rav Papa sheet in the Mishnah is, two different cases. One case of an object that was found, and therefore the Mishnah is telling me that if two people claim they both found the object, and they're both holding onto the object, the halacha is they split it 50-50 with a shua. Second case where both parties claim they bought an object, and they're both holding on to the object. What's the halacha? You go ahead and you split it 50-50. Split it 50-50, and now the Gemara just tells me that I could not have learned out one case from the other. In other words, I could not have learned out the case of metzia of a found object from Ekach u'Memkar, from the case of a bought object, or vice versa. Therefore, the Mishnah sees the need to go ahead and say them both to me. Fine. It says the Gemara, Ekach u'Memkar. So I don't understand, why is there, I ruined this a little bit, I apologize, because I gave part of the punchline away. I'm going to do tshuva. All right, so says the Gemara, just pretend like you forgot. Oh, wow, amazing I did that. That's incredible. Incredible. So says the Gemara, Ekach u'Memkar. Good morning, everyone. Ekach u'Memkar. So what happens? So the Mishnah says, so now we're setting this up as dealing with the case of Ekach u'Memkar, of where you went ahead and you bought an object. So now we're saying, we're suggesting that the case of Kula Shali is a case, ultimately, again, where the two parties are both claiming that they bought the object. Sigmar asks, very simple. Belechze zuzi miman nakit. I don't understand. Why don't you just see who did he take the money from? As I was saying, at the end of the day, see, when you have two people claiming they both found an object, I hear the ambiguity in that case. In the case of a sale, there's a vendor, right? There's a seller. So why don't you ask, listen, put the two guys in a lineup. Say, listen, who did you sell to? Which guy did you sell to? Who did you take money from? To which the Gemara says, lo tzvicha dinakit mitar vayu. Oh, I will say the case over here is where he actually took money from both of them. Michad midaite umichad bal karcho. So we'll say what happens. One of the guys he willingly sold the object to, and one of the guys, kind of what we called yesterday Hamas, right? One of the guys went ahead and pushed the money, gave him the money and took the object, which is technical theft. So what happens? V'lo yidano mihu midaite umihu bal karchei. And the vendor says, look, all these guys look the same. Right? So, you know, he can't tell which one is the one that he sold it to willingly and which one is the one that gave him the money against his will. To which the Gemara Sleiman Masnis and the Loki Ben Nanas. So therefore, get a bosai, in that kind of case where what we have over here is the vendor has two sets of money. He knows that he only willingly sold it to one of the guys, but the problem is the vendor cannot identify which individual he actively sold it to. So because of that, we have to go, there's no choice but to have two parties take a shmua and ultimately split the object. To which the Gemara says, Masnis and the Loki Ben Nanas. So our Mishnah clearly does not reflect the view of Ben Nanas. To E Ben Nanas. Because I'll say, what does Ben Nanas say? Ha'omer, the Ben Nanas. Ha'omer, Keitzad Elu Ve'elu Boim Dishun. I will say, this is very, very exciting. Why? Because this is Ben Nanas from Baba Kama. You see, we were heartbroken that we thought we left Baba Kama, because Baba Kama is a beautiful Masechta, and we spent 119 days. You know, I will say, anything you spend 119 days with, you develop a deep love and appreciation for. So we thought we were leaving Baba Kama, and then amazingly enough, first half of Baba Metzia brings us right back to Baba Kama. So once you remember this case of Ben Nanas, if you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says, he quotes it over here by Shavuos, but we also saw this in Baba Kama. So listen to this. So the Masechta Shavuos, Gabi Chen Bini Alpin Kaso, Eilu Ve'eilu Bo'in Le'beiz Din Amanas Lishava, Echon Mehem Lishav, Amar Balabayis Lechen. So also listen to this case. Amar Balabayis Lechen V'nitein Lebnichit Medinar Va'alai Lishalim Ola Polim V'sela Mo Shani Chayi B'scham. So also listen to this case. I have workers. Let's go with the workers' case. I have people who work for me. So the way I'm going to pay them ultimately is through goods. So I go ahead and I make an arrangement with the owner of the local general store, telling him, listen, my workers are going to come in. I owe them $1,000. They could take up to $1,000 of goods. Fine. What happens? Well, so what happens? So the owner of the store comes and says, I gave them $1,000 worth of goods. And what happens? And what happens? The workers say, we never took anything. You still owe us the money. So what's the halacha? Ushneim tovim es balabayis. So we'll say, now both of these cases, both of these parties are coming after me. The storekeeper is coming after me. Why? Why? Because he wants his $1,000. The workers are coming after me. Why? Because they want their $1,000, right? And the storekeeper is claiming he dispensed the goods. The workers are claiming they never got anything. So what's the halacha? Shneihem nishbaim benot lemi balabayis. Both of them swear, meaning both being the store owner and the workers, both swear that they are owed the money, and they are both permitted to collect $1,000 from me. So I have to pay $1,000 to both of them. Amar Benanis, so Benanis disagrees with this, and he says, Keitzer ilu ve'ilu boin lidi shvua shav, ela shneim notlim belo shvua. But it's actually quite amazing. So Benanis says, how can you ever set up a case where you know that somebody's lying? You can't create a shvua case, meaning we'll say somebody is lying, because it's impossible that the storekeeper actually dispensed the goods, and yet the workers say they didn't get it. So one or two things happen. Either the storekeeper's lying or the workers are lying. Benana says, how can you create a case where you are by definition, where you're enabling a shvua shav? Therefore, both sides, Benana says, solution is actually quite astounding. Benana says they both collect from me, from the balabas, without a shvua. I have to pay them both $1,000 without any shvua. To which the Gemara says, so say our Mishnah does not reflect the view of Benana's. Why, Rabbi said, because again, why don't we see the same thing in our case? In our Mishnah, also somebody's inevitably swearing falsely. To which the Gemara says, no. Afilu tema bananas, hasam vada ika shua shav. So he will say, in the case of what we call, that's called the case of chen vini alpin kaso. That's the Gemara calls that case, about the shopkeeper who was supposed to dispense goods. In that case, someone's definitely lying. Hacha ika lanemar daleka shua shav. We will say, in our Mishnah, it's possible that they're not lying. How so? Emar de tarvaya bahadi adadi akbu. Because I will say, at the end of the day, especially if you go with the Metzia approach, it is possible that two people lifted up a found object simultaneously. That is a possibility. So because that's a possibility, Lemaisa, again, our Mishnah could even reflect the view of Ben Nanis, because it could actually be that when both of them say, Ani mitza siha v'kula shali, that amazingly enough, no one's lying. So Lemas is Loki Sumchus. Say that our Mishnah does not reflect the view of Sumchus. The Ika Sumchus, because I will say, if the Mishnah reflective view of Sumchus, Ha'amar Mamon Hamutal B'Safi Cholkin. We'll say another Baba Kama reference. Amazing. What's the Baba Kama reference? This is the case of the Shor Shenagach HaSapara. Look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, Kesumchus Baba Kama Gabi Shor Shenagach HaSapara V'Nimtzu Ober B'Tzila. We'll say, remember this case? What happens? My Shor gore is Reuven Shor. And what happens? Reuven Shor was pregnant. And I find by the side of the dead Shor, the aborted fetus. The aborted fetus. What's the shaila? The shaila is, did Reuven's cow miscarry as a result of the goring or before the goring? That's the, and remember again, in a case where no one knows what to do, Simcha says, because you don't know what to do, Mamana Mutu Safik Kolkin. We split it to below Shvua. Rabbi says, what's the Chabover? The Chabover is without a Shvua. So our Mishnah clearly does not reflect the view of Sumchus, because if our Mishnah reflected Sumchus, then Rabbi says, what would be the Halacha? Right? Shaimach Sumitalis, Zeomer Kulishli, Zemer Nimitzasia, Kulishli, Zemer, right? What would be the Halacha? Yachloku, Bart, below Shvua. Yet the Mishnah says, there is a Shvua, the Elamai Rabbanon. So we'll say, so our Mishnah reflects the view not of Sumchus, but of the Rabbanon. But one second, the Rabbanon, in that case, Rabbosai, of Shor Shenagach HaSapara, if you remember, say the following. The Rabbanon say, Ha'omri, Ha'motzi Mechabero, Alav Haraya. Rabbosai, remember again, the Rabbanon in that case say, in the case of where my ox gored Reuven's ox, Reuven's cow, so remember, the Rabbanon say in that case, that if Reuven wants me to pay for the damage done, for the miscarriage, then Reuven has to prove that was a result of the goring. Because if he can't prove that, it's hamotzi mechaber alav haraya. If he wants to extract money from me, the burden of proof ultimately again is upon him. To which the Gemara says, well, one second. Well, look at Rashi alav haraya be'idim ve'ilo lo gavi midi v'hacha cholkim b'shut. Rabbo saying, now remember, in this case over here, we would think, according to the Rabbanon, so why would the Rabbanon just say yachloku? According to the Rabbanon, we should say motzi mechavera alav haraya. There should be some type of legal process to decide this. To which the Gemara says, hi, mai. I amrit bishlam Rabbanon hasam lo delot hafsi tarvayu. Amr Rabbanon motzi mechavera alav haraya. So we'll say, it's only in that previous case of Shor Shenagach HaSapara, where neither party is muchzak in their claim or in the item. neither party is holding on to it, so to speak, that that's where we say Motzi Mechaber Alav Araya. So we'll say in that case over here, Reuven, who's the owner of the cow that miscarried, he wants to prove that ultimately what? That as a result of my goring, that his cow miscarried, he wants to extract money from me, and neither of us are muchzok. Neither of us are physically holding on to anything. So Lamaisa, he has to go ahead and prove that claim. However, Hacha, Dibetavayu Tafsi, Pligila B'Shua. Rabbi says it's possible that even that in this case of our Mishnah, even the rabbis would agree, the Rabbanan would agree, that in such a circumstance like this, that's what? Where both of them are holding on to the talis, that eino chinami, the obligation would be to go ahead and split it equally between the two. So the Gemara says, Ella I armetsumchus hashta umahasan voltafsi tarvayu cholkim below shvua. So let's analyze this. Let's think about Simchus in just a moment. What did Simchus say in the case of the goring, in the case of Baba Kama, the aborted fetus? So what does Simchus say? Neither of them are tofe. So both say, remember again, neither of them are actively holding on to anything. Yet Simchus says that they should split the disputed amount equally without a shvua. Hacha de tarvayu tafsi. Look, Hoshikin, I will say, all the more so in this case over here, where they are both holding on to it, certainly, Sumcha should hold that Lamaisa, again, they should be able to split it without a Shavua as well. To which the Gemara says, no, Afilu Tema Sumchus. Our Mishnah could even reflect the view of Sumchus. Ki Amar Sumchus. I will say, when did Sumchus make his claim that Mamun Hamutu Basafek Cholkin below Shavua? When did Sumchus say that Lamaisa, again, When did Simcha say that Mamun Hamutu B'Safek, that if you have a doubt regarding money, a monetary claim, that you split it without a Shavua? Both say that's only when Shema V'Shema. Both say that's only when each party is uncertain in its claim. Remember again, the case of Shoshnagach HaSapara is no one really knows what happened. Right? Did the cow miscarry before the negicha, before the goring, or did the cow miscarry after the negicha, after the goring? No one really knows the answer to that particular question. So because of that, therefore again, Sumchus will say, Mamun Hamutu B'Safek, we have doubt regarding this money. Cholkin, split it without a shvuah. About bariu bari lo, but I will say when sumchus. But if you have a case of bari bari, I always mean bariu bari. In a case of bari bari, it means that lamaisa again, both parties are making a definitive claim, which is the case of our Mishnah. Ze omer kula shali, beze omer kula shali. In that case, even sumchus would agree that halacha lamaisa, you should have to go ahead and split it, but only with the shvuah. Ulra barafuna damar the amar sumchus. Afilu bariu bari ma'ika lameimar. So I will say, listen to this. So actually, no, I will say, I'm going to stop over here for just a moment. We're going to pick up. I just want to end with one thought. So we'll pick up in Eretz Hashem with Ulu Rabbos. First of all, I just want to give a special welcome to all of the new faces who are here for Bava Metzia. To the veterans, please make sure to welcome the new guys. No hazing or anything like that. Just a simple Shalom Aleichem and be mechazek them, because we all know that when we started the daf, it's not easy. It's early, especially if you start during Slichos. It's 5 minutes earlier than regular. So just make sure to be mechazek the newcomers and just embrace them and welcome them. Jose, I'll just tell you that it's an amazing yisod that we're starting Bava Metzia in these days leading up to Rosh Hashanah. Because, you know, Jose, what's the whole idea of Bava Metzia? The Bava, of course, means the gate. So Metzia means found objects. Found objects. You know, so you know, Bava Metzia, Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, Bava Basra are really one Masechta. It's really one big Masechta that ultimately were broken up into three smaller Masechtas. And they each deal, obviously, primarily with different things. And Bava Metzia, lost objects, I thought to myself, you know, the Bali Musa writes that one of the incredible things in life is that we've all lost something over the course of the journey of life. Right? Some of us lose our optimism. Some of us lose our hope. Some of us lose our connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Some of us lose our connection to others. Everyone over the course of life has lost something. And Rav Kook writes so beautifully in his Oras HaTshuva that tshuva is the process through which we look for that which we have lost over the course of the journey of life. And it's amazing how it is that here, just a few days before Rosh Hashanah, we're beginning this Masechta of Bava Metzia, the Masechta that deals with finding lost objects, dealing with lost objects, reclaiming that which has been lost. So we should be zochim yetzir abos, and then the zuchus of beginning this Masechta, and the zuchus again of opening up with Shnayim Ochsin, which for many of us brings us back to sixth grade, to elementary school. I see even some are using their elementary school Gemaras. Baruch Hashem. So it takes us back to a different time of life. And perhaps it takes us back to a little bit of a time of life where we weren't as cynical, we weren't as sarcastic, we weren't as jaded, we didn't have all of our skewed hashkafas and shitos. And hopefully, through this limud and through this time of year, we could do a little, we could find some of the metzias of ourselves. We could find some of those things that we've lost. We should be zoche chemeretz Hashem, I will say, to reclaim those parts of our persona that are beautiful, that are pure, that are pristine, that we have lost throughout the journey of life. We should be zoche to find them. We should be zoche chemeretz Hashem to reclaim them. We should be zoche to find our metzias as well. All right.